piano cakes. Hello and welcome to The Bitter Sound. I am not Davian Dent. In fact, I shouldn't even be here. Davian?
Hey, I'm just coming. Wait. Cheers, Kath. Sorry. Yeah, sorry. I was doing something. Hello and welcome indeed to The Bitter Sound. The last one, in fact, the very last one, the finale, the swan song, if you will. It's certainly been an interesting journey, one that started over 10 years ago, way back in 2012. My word. Not a lot I'm going to say, really. I hope you enjoy the show. Sit yourself down, plug in your headphones, relax and thing. Yeah, have fun and... see you at the end, maybe.
A new stereophonic sound spectacular. The world of stereo is filled with spectacular sound surprises. As I was saying, stereo is full of surprises. In an instant, stereo can magically transport you to the concert hall. Or to a bowling alley. Or to a jazz band ball. Here's a vocalist we all know.
I went down.
Did Mike Hunt call?
Why are you asking me that 15 times?
Did he call? I don't know a Mike Hunt. Who the fuck is Mike Hunt? The guy they called.
You know what? I'm getting pissed. I'm getting pissed.
Did he call?
Did he?
I don't know.
You've been answering the phone. You've been answering the phone. Did Mike Hunt call?
Did he?
Okay. We're done.
I don't get it. What the fuck is wrong with you two?
Who's Mike Hunt?
Who is he? Who is he? You don't know either, do you?
He doesn't know either. Mike, do you know who Mike Hunt is?
What the fuck are you laughing at?
Whatever.
All of us are born with the miraculous ability to determine the direction from which sounds approach us. South Avenger! We're able to tell in an instant where a particular sound comes from. In fact, we have an instinctive emotional need to be able to orient ourselves in terms of sound sources.
We end this BBC investigation, which has found clear evidence that a cluster bomb, banned by many countries under international law, was used in an attack on Kramatorsk railway station. More than 50 people died in that blast, many of them women and children.
Areas are being evacuated due to suspect dogs. This could be the start of a mainland campaign of dog bombs threatened last month.
Now, to this day, there remained many, many questions about this attack. Now, most fingers have been pointed at Russia being responsible for this attack. That's something they deny. That has been met with fairly serious doubt around the world.
The four hounds exploded without warning.
An absolute f***ing disgrace. These inhuman shit-for-souls suckers have no place here. They are cunts.
Where are you going now?
Go UK.
Go UK.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
Night swimming deserves a quiet night.
French fishermen spotted a boat in trouble in the channel.
Hours later, a dinghy was found capsized and dozens were declared dead.
Taken years ago.
At least 31 migrants have drowned. There are 5 women and 2 children among the dead, according to the French authorities.
Stripped down to their speedos.
People intent on getting to the UK, no matter what the risk.
They just keep on a-coming.
Still, it's so much clearer.
It's hard to imagine the level of desperation for these people.
After what happened yesterday, people will try again.
The moon is low tonight.
This disaster underscores how dangerous it is to cross the channel.
The drownings haven't deterred migrants from making the dangerous crossing. Dozens more arrive today.
Night swimming deserves a quiet night.
Darkness descended on the English Channel.
The migrants died.
Swimming.
Just when we thought we'd seen everything, just when we thought we'd heard the lot, we now find out that the NHS are going to share our private and personal data with third parties.
Right, let's sort the buyers from the spires, the needy from the greedy, and those who trust from the ones who don't.
There has been no attempt to get consent from patients at all about this.
Fuck off, wanker, you're doing it.
I'm going to opt out because I don't want people knowing the length of my
dick.
Pecker!
Wank! Willie!
Boris Johnson!
Members of the public do not explicitly opt out of this process by the 23rd of June, then their entire GP record from cradle to grave will be shared with other non-NHS commercial bodies.
Wankers.
Quite often I need two holes so that I can squirt.
Give your meat a good old rub. That's it. Nice and hot.
If you squeeze the bag, usually means it's full.
That's it.
Meet that little bit of resistance.
Oh, man, spicy meat.
Tape recorder, take one.
Ah, monkey on the car.
Monkey on the car. Oh.
Fuck off.
Oh, no.
Facts.
Alternative facts. Fact me so hard.
The best thing we can do is to protect our children.
Emma Tustin refused to sit in the courtroom today. She remained in the court cells as the judge passed a life sentence for murdering 6-year-old Arthur Lavinjo Hughes. Close your
eyes. One witness described him as broken. Have no fear.
Sit in the courtroom today.
Beautiful, 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 beautiful boy.
tras el nostre volo 7 ore 40 minuti. Effettivamente verichiamo di passare 10 giorni al piano del nostro carino, abbiamo informazione di questa poi sarà presente. Grazie, ovviamente per la luce. Vi diamo il benvenuto a bordo volo 48.
The plane touched down at Rome's Fiumicino Airport on time. The skies were clear and held the promise of warm, dry weather for the days ahead. I'd not been to Rome or even Italy before, but any sense of pleasure and anticipation was tempered by what it was I had to do there. It had all started 2 days before on a Friday evening after work. A new pizza restaurant had just opened around the corner from where I live, and I thought I'd try it out for want of anything else better to do. The restaurant was called Yo Mama, as in pizza like Yo Mama used to make. I failed to see how this applied to me, as my mum was from Tunbridge Wells, but I accepted it in the spirit that it was clearly intended. I entered the practically empty restaurant and, as instructed by the sign, I waited to be seated. After a short while, a young man, casually dressed, yet effortlessly smart, approached me. "Good evening, sir," he said. "My name is Giuseppe, and I will be your waiter this evening. How many in your party?" "Oh, just me," I laughed nervously. I tried to think of something witty to say, but just more nervous laughter came out. Giuseppe lowered his eyes from the ceiling, turned on his heels, and bade me to follow him. He led me to a table in the window and pulled out a chair. I sat down as he handed me a menu and walked away with the promise of returning in a few minutes. I perused the menu. So much choice. So many things I'd never heard of, let alone imagined you could put on a pizza. I noticed a paragraph on the rear of the menu that stated, "We pride ourselves on our well-trained staff and our well-stocked kitchens, so if you do not see what you want, please ask your waiter and we will try our best to make it for you." I relaxed almost immediately. I'd had pizza before, so knew what I wanted, and though it wasn't on the menu, I would ask Giuseppe and he would do his best to get it for me. I had every confidence in Giuseppe. I saw movement out of the corner of my eye. As he had promised, Giuseppe was returning. "Has Sir chosen?" he asked while looking at his order pad, pen hovering above it. "Well, sort of," I replied. "What I would like isn't on the menu, but I understand that won't be a problem." Giuseppe remained solid with pen and pad poised. "No problem at all, sir. What can I get you?" "I can't quite remember what it was called, but it had cheese on it." "Cheese," muttered Giuseppe as he wrote it down. "Anything else?" queried the waiter. "Oh, and ham," I replied. Giuseppe's left eyebrow twitched slightly, but he wrote it down nevertheless. "Is that all, sir?" he asked. "No," I said. "There's one more thing. I just can't quite..." A vision of a dusky girl in a grass skirt and flowers swinging her hips from side to side appeared in my head. "That's it," I exclaimed. It's called an Hawaiian, and it's got pineapple on it." Giuseppe took a sudden step back as if avoiding a punch from a drunken cowboy. If the restaurant hadn't been empty, a deathly silence would have fallen. Giuseppe's face went from a ghostly white through embarrassed red to angry purple. His eyes, which had so far successfully avoided making contact with my own, were now burning deep into my soul. Giuseppe brought his face closer to mine. He spoke slowly and calmly, his breath hot with barely suppressed rage. "Sir," he mentioned, "you have insulted me. You have insulted Italy. You have insulted Yo Mama." I was about to mention Tunbridge Wells at this point, but thought better of it. "But most of all, you have insulted pizza. I will not serve you. Please leave and do not come back." I'm really sorry," I stuttered. "I only wanted to have some pizza. What can I do to make this all better again?" I pleaded. Giuseppe stared silently at me for what seemed like an eternity, his eyes filled with undisguised hatred. Eventually he spoke. "There is only one thing that you can do that will, as you say, make this better." "Anything. I'll do anything." "You must seek forgiveness." "Yes, but how? Who? Where?" And that is how I found myself outside Rome Airport waiting for a taxi. A taxi to take me to the Vatican. To take me to the Vatican and to seek audience with the Pope. An audience with the Pope to seek forgiveness. Forgiveness for my insult to Giuseppe, Italy, Yo Mama, and pizza. The taxi queue was moving forward quite quickly, which gave me a little time to dwell on what I was about to do. I got to the front of the queue and was surprised to see a London black cab pull up in front of me. I got in and said one word, Vatican. The driver nodded sharply, signalled, and drove off. To pass the time, I took out my Italian phrasebook and muttered some of the phrases to myself along with their English translations. My confidence was growing sufficiently for me to attempt a conversation with the driver. Buongiorno, I offered enthusiastically. Buongiorno, he replied less so. Bel tempo ci abbiamo, I ventured further, slightly less sure of myself, to be fair. Sorry, mate, but do you speak English? Queried the driver. You see, I don't normally come this far south of the river, but they're a nice couple and had had a good day. I just thought I'd pick up a few fares before heading back. Oh, of course. Sorry, I didn't realise, I responded. I suppose the black cab should have been a bit of a clue, and the fact that you signalled before driving off, come to think of it. So, what have you done then? Asked the cabbie. What do you mean? It's written all over your face. I unnecessarily checked my face in the mirror. Look, mate, you're going to the Vatican to seek an audience with the Pope to ask forgiveness for something. Probably a grave insult. I checked my face in the mirror again. How? I questioned. Listen, mate, I've been a cabbie for 30 years. Seen all I have. Come on in, fess up. Think of it as, think of it as a practice run, if you like, geese. So I told him all about Giuseppe, Yo Mama, and the Hawaiian pizza. It felt good telling my story. Almost cathartic. God blimey, love a fucking duck, exclaimed the cabbie. You don't want to be messing around with the Italians and their food, mate. Just pray the Pope is in a good mood. Any comfort I'd built up evaporated like a single raindrop in the desert. Well, here we are. The cab pulled up into a large square. I got out and reached for my wallet. Nah, mate, this one's on me. I'm off to fleece a few more eyesies. Be lucky. The black cab pulled away, leaving me alone. Strangely alone, that is. I expected it to be bustling with tourists and sinners alike. Sinners like myself. But it was eerily quiet. I looked around, not sure where to go. Then I saw the sign, "Queue here for audiences with the Pope." Rather conveniently, it was written in English. I strode off towards the sign, my stomach doing a somersault with every step. As I got nearer, I could see a small booth just big enough for one person to fit in. As I got closer still, I could see the person was a kind-faced, middle-aged man, dressed all in red from head to toe. I reached for the booth. Buongiorno, I timidly said. The man kindly nodded at me, as if to beckon me in. I reached for the phrasebook in my jacket pocket but fumbled with it and it fell to the ground. I scrabbled around for a bit and managed to pick it up. I thumbed nervously through the pages, clearly flustered. I can speak English if that is any help, offered the man in red. Oh, English, yes, great. That would be great, thanks. I made a mental note to travel abroad more if it was always this easy. I took a deep breath. I've come for an audience with the Pope to seek forgiveness. What is it you wish to seek forgiveness for? He asked. I explained all about Giuseppe, Yo Mama, and Hawaiian pizza. He said nothing for a while, just stood there gently shaking his head and occasionally crossing himself. Eventually, he said, You are very fortunate that today is a very quiet day. It is always the same when there is a new Pope. People like to wait and see how he shakes down. I will take you to the Pope myself and explain everything. By the way, I am one of the cardinals. Oh, I said. I'm not familiar with your music, but I'm sure it's very good. He ignored me and walked on. I followed. You wait here while I go in and brief the Pope, the cardinal said as we entered what he described as the antechamber. This reminded me of my antechambers and her musical fruits, but that's another story. Minutes passed as I strained to hear the muted voices coming from beyond the heavy wooden doors. Finally, the doors opened and the cardinal bade me enter. I walked into possibly the grandest, most magnificent hall one could imagine. My eyes were struck by the most opulent and obscene wealth that had surely ever been seen in one room. In the centre of the hall on a raised dais was a most splendid throne upon which sat an elderly man in a white robe and a big hat. This was clearly the Pope. The cardinal ascended the dais and stood next to the seated Pope. The cardinal addressed me. His Holiness has listened with great intent to your pleadings. He says that your journey here alone is evidence of your contrition. His Holiness, without reservation, grants you forgiveness for your grave insults to Giuseppe, Italy, Yo Mama, and pizza. I felt a wave of emotion wash over me one way and then back the other. Thank you, your Holiness. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The Cardinal raised his hand in a clear signal for me to shut up. Before you're dismissed, His Holiness would like a private word with you. You may approach the throne. I did as he asked and knelt before the Pope. The Pope leaned forward and brought his mouth close to my ear and whispered, "My mum's from Buenos Aires." He then sat back in his throne and gave me a little wink. The journey back home was uneventful. The plane arrived late, as expected by just about everybody on board, and I squeezed myself onto a tube train for the last leg of the journey. Before I went home, there's one place I had to go. They would just be opening by the time I got there. As I turned the corner, the sign for Yo Mama was shining brightly in the evening gloom. I went and waited to be seated. Eventually, a young lady approached dressed in a casual yet effortlessly smart way. "Good evening, sir," she said. "My name is Francesca and I will be your waiter this evening. How many in your party?" Just the one, and I'll have the window table, please." "Of course. Please follow me." I took what was now my usual seat and perused the menu whilst I waited for Francesca to return after doing whatever it takes a few minutes for waiters to do. Francesca returned diligently to the second. "Are you ready to order, sir?" "Yes, but before I do, can I just ask if Giuseppe is here tonight?" "Giuseppe? I'm afraid the management had to let him go. He was upsetting too many customers." "Oh, that's too bad. I had some news for him." Francesca continued, "Can you believe he actually told one customer to go and see the Pope for forgiveness? I don't think anyone would be stupid enough to actually do it, though." "Absolutely not. That would be... My voice trailed off at the end. I cleared my throat and announced that I would indeed like to order. I pointed to the most obscure pizza I could find on the menu, sure to please even the most Italian of Italians. Before writing anything down, Francesca asked, "Have you seen our specials board?" while pointing to a chalkboard above the bar. I looked up at the board. The world seemed to stand still. I had to read it several times, my lips mouthing the words. Writ large in white chalk capitals was one word, Hawaiian, while beneath it, smaller words, succulent ham and juicy pineapple. I must have sat there gaping like goldfish for a few seconds too long. Francesca asked if everything was all right. All I could think of was to say was, "That's not very Italian, is it?" "Well, yes, but everyone now knows that this is actually the Pope's favourite pizza," replied a smiling Francesca. "I suppose I could give it a go," I asked vacantly. "You know, see what it's like? As it's the Pope's favourites." I ate my Hawaiian pizza in silence, paid my bill with a generous tip and made my way home. I popped into the newsagents for the evening paper. On the front page was the headline, "Vatican takes delivery of pineapple chunks." Beneath that, "New Pope making changes." Well, I thought to myself, just wait till I tell Mum.
It's good to talk.
Load up bonkers.
There's a voice, and it's a little quiet voice that goes,
"Chop."
It's just there. It's just, you know, it's latent. Waits. And then the next thing you know, it's not okay.
Desperation takes hold.
We're talking about the global surging energy prices. And when prices rise, we all pay for it.
How much food is there?
It's half a bag of soggy, smoky bacon crisps, a tin of mustard powder, 3 water biscuits, a brown lemon, 2 bottles of vinegar, and a tube of Bongella gumwee.
There's pressure on the UK's energy sector. Wholesale prices are soaring.
And today, we're focusing on the cost of living crisis.
You're completely worthless, and one day, you're going to die.
Hovis, Domino's and Greggs are all warning that food prices could rise even higher because of Russia's invasion of Ukraine.
You might think the price of cucumbers tripling was an April Fool's story, but it isn't. It's just one of the slightly more exotic examples of the rising cost of living.
I'm sorry.
Due to inappropriate content, we apologise that we are now unable to transmit the programme to you. In the meantime, we'll just leave you with some music.
Talking about sex can be awkward.
What do you say I take you home and eat your pussy?
Bouncy balls.
Now if you don't behave and sort yourselves out, I'm gonna get bloody angry and I will do things. Yes, very bad things.
Homophobia, the worst disease. You can't love who you want to love in times like this.
You're beginning on the premise that homosexuality is akin to an illness. How hard would I have to pray to make you gay? What did Jesus say about sexuality?
He never said anything.
Didn't say word about it, did he?
No, he never said a word about it. Honestly.
And according to the Bible, homosexuality is a capital crime. And
you've created a culture in which they don't want to be gay. You preach that there's something wrong with it, and then you think you get a free pass on being a good guy when they come to you and ask for help in resisting their natural urges.
Leviticus 20:13 clearly says, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with the woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death.
Do you even believe this, or do you just need to pay the bills?
I don't get paid for being a pastor.
Good grief, so you do this for fun? Or power? I'm going to pray for you, but my God, I'm going to pray for the people you corrupt as well.
Thank you.
Amazing. That was beautiful.
We have just witnessed...
The Prime Minister said he would have bodies pile high.
Disingenuous little fucker.
Rebelling against nothing it can define.
I think we're going to kill thousands of people.
An established, successful, secure member of the establishment.
Well, somebody here isn't telling the truth.
Turning upon and biting the hand that feeds him.
I'm going to get Chris Whitty to inject me live on TV with coronavirus.
Well, these attitudes are dangerous.
There is no plan.
They contribute nothing to our culture.
We are absolutely fucked.
And are to be stamped out.
And there you have it. That's it. All done. I hope you enjoyed it. Just want to thank everyone who's joined in, assisted, helped, whatever, over the last 10 years or so. Yeah, cool. Thank you very much indeed. I'm off now. I am going to be doing something else. Not quite sure what yet, but if I think it's going to be of any interest, I might let you know. Yeah. Thank you. Cheers. Bye.
The Bitter Sound was conceived, recorded, and produced by Davian Dent. The Pizza was written by Davian Dent with either Simon James, Stuart Buckland, or Stephen Carr. No one can remember, to be honest. Alternative Fact was written and performed by Stuart Buckland, and various other samples and stuff were taken from all over the shop. You know how it is these days. Please don't sue us, we make no money off this. The Bitter Sound theme and other incidental music were written and performed by Bitter Sound Foundation with David J. Griffiths. For more information, please go to www.thebittersound.com. Thank you. Piano cakes.